Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japat podcast call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Leela Purushottam Prabhuji here with us today, and Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.25.22. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity association this morning. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to you now.
Because I am always ready for 6:30, we will start intro.
Hare Krishna. So Mataji, should we start now?
Yes, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam. Dandavat Pranam to everyone. Vanchakalpataravasya, Kripa Sindhavevacha, Patitanam Pavanavyo, Vaishnavevyo, Namo Namo. All Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai ho, Srila Prabhupada ki jai ho. So, we have recently talked on verse number 10, and today it is the verse number 22. So, we'll have a short kirtan and then we will start.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Prasada Nandana Prasada Ranjana Prasada Nandana Amuna Tera Bana Chari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jayo Radha Madhava.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Okay. So, thank you all the devotees, showering your blessings and mercy upon me. We will read the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text Number 22.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय सुनासां सुदतिं बालां सुकोपोलाम्बरबराननां समविन्यस्त कर्णाभ्याम् बिभ्रतिं कुण्डलाश्रियम् सुनासां सुदतिं बालां सुकपोलां बराननां समविन्यस्तकर्णाभ्याम् बिभ्रतिं कुण्डलाश्रियम् सुनासां वेरि ब्यूटिफुल् नोस् सुनासां very beautiful nose sudatim very beautiful teeth balam the young woman sukapolam nice forehead bara ananam beautiful face anana means face sama equally vinyasta arranged karnabhyam both ears vibhratim dazzling kundala sriyam having beautiful earrings translation and purport by his divine grace Aisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The woman's nose, teeth and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with dazzling earrings. The body of intelligence enjoys the objects of sense gratification that cover it, such as smell, vision, and hearing. The word sunasam, beautiful nose, indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is an instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste. For by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word sukapolam, nice forehead, indicates a clear brain capable of understanding things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set up on the two ears are placed there by the work of the intelligence. The ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I had given an introduction last time, just to brief a little bit about the context. Context is that Prachina Varishat is being instructed by Naraji. Prachina Varishat is intoxicated with the attitude of fruitive activity, and he is performing animal sacrifices to be elevated to the heavenly planet so that he can enjoy more. And Naraji, after sending his sons for severe austerities, has reached the palace of Prachina Varishat to train him in the science of Krishna consciousness. So he is narrating a story in the form of an allegory. So he wants to teach him in the form of an allegory. Allegory is about himself. So he is representing the king himself, or each one of us, as Puranjana. Puranjana means the embodied living being. Normally, we desire to go through the process of artha, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Normally, in human form of life, we perform some religious activities by which we earn or we make economic development, and based on that we make or we satisfy our desires, sense gratification. And then a point comes where we suffer because of the distressing outcome of sense gratification, and then we look towards moksha. So here, this embodied living being, Puranjana, he has taken a body of a human or a demigod. It says Bharatavarsa. So normally, in a human form of life, we can enjoy better, right? We can do our basic sense gratification activities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending in a more sophisticated way. Or in Swarga planet, heavenly planet, we can even do much better. So this particular verse is saying, the woman's nose, Puranjana, after entering the city of the nine gate, the human body is a city of nine gate. Demigod's body are also city of nine gate. So he has either entered into the, one can enter into a body of a demigod or denizens of heaven or a human being. The result is same. What is that result? Result is we want to enjoy our senses. So here in allegorically, it is being told that he saw beautiful gardens. So what are those gardens? So gardens, that gives us, that is sensed through vision or through visual perception, auditory perception, tactile perception, the taste perception, and the smell perception. So as he was wandering in the garden, he met a beautiful wife, a beautiful woman. Actually, this woman, allegorically, is our own intelligence. So if you look at here, whatever is being told by Lord Kapila, or whatever has been talked in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna, so that Naraji has put in the form of an allegory.
that is a conditioned living entity. We enter into a body that is made up of, you know, 10 senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 working senses, mind, that makes 11, 5 objective senses. So that becomes 16. And then we have mind, intelligence, false ego, so like that, you know, there are 24 elements. I'm forgetting now the detail. So constitutionally, we are encased in a body, right? And subtle body eternally has captured us. We will not be liberated unless and until we become freed from this subtle body. Gross body, we are giving up from time immemorial. So what I will do today, because this verse is about intelligence, I will focus on how material intelligence is only ignorance, right? It is actually there in the further description by Naraji. In fact, when the entire, you will see that as we progress, the Puranjana, you know, after accepting the intelligence as the wife, he would start enjoying, and he would live in the city of 9 gates for 100 years. And then you saw in the form of Chanda Vega how Yamadutas would attack, and one has to, this entire fort will collapse, and finally Puranjana, being attached to the woman, would take birth in the next life as a woman. But in the body of a woman, the Puranjana would be more inclined to penance, austerity, the principle of Krishna consciousness. So she will be more dedicated to her husband, Malayadhvaja, who is more inclined towards truth. So this story goes on like that. And finally, when the Malayadhvaja leaves his body, then the Puranjana in the body of a woman would lament, and that is the time super soul would come and will teach Puranjana in the body of a woman the real plight of a conditioned soul. So the Abhijñāta, that is how super soul was described, and this super soul we never look at in the beginning. And only when we go through severe austerities, purification in the form of severe austerity, by performing severe austerities, penances, you know, act of sacrifice, when we perform all those activities and accept the principle of Krishna consciousness, then we hear the voice from our wonderful friend called super soul. So after this entire allegory is spoken, the king Prachana Varishat would tell Narada that, "Sir, I'm not able to follow what you spoke. I'm very ignorant. This allegory didn't make any sense unto me." Again, Naraji, in the chapter 29, he would explain the allegory. What is this allegory? In fact, he would say, this Puranjana is you, all the conditioned soul, all of us, I, everyone here, we are all Puranjana. And so what I would focus today is that material intelligence, how it drags us to ignorance. More material intelligence I have, more ignorant I am. Okay? And the important point I would like to focus today is that how mind, the center of the subtle body, is dragging us in the cycle of birth, death, from time immemorial. And sometimes people ask this question, how do you know that we have trillions of births already, or we'll have trillions of births in the future? So that particular aspect has been dealt in 29th chapter of this canto in detail. And I will go through a couple of purports to explain that. And how a conditioned soul, by recognizing the precarious situation being in the being encased by the subtle body and as well as gross body, can take shelter of Krishna and come out of this dreaded ocean of nescience. And I will conclude this discussion with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and specifically a verse, 14th chapter of this is the Adi Lila 14th chapter. We will read a verse saying that how Krishna Krupa, and particularly Chaitanya Krupa, can help us to cross over this dreaded ocean of nescience. In fact, as Naraji would explain this allegory, which is in chapter 25, 26, 27, 28, four chapters. This allegory goes on for four chapters. And after four chapters, in the fifth chapter, he's going to explain this. So while explaining that, he will give another allegory. That allegory of a deer who is, you know, very blissfully eating nice green grasses in the forest. And he's unaware, he's absolutely unaware that a tiger from a distance is getting ready to make him his wonderful lunch. And there is a hunter from another side is fixing an arrow on him for his own profit. So this is the exact situation that we are when material intelligence pushes us towards sense gratification. Mind is a repository of all our, you know, various sense enjoyments. Any sense enjoyment we do, the impressions are there in the mind. So even if we don't do anything in our gross body, the subtle body will activate the gross body. That is why in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna that, O Arjuna, that a person who says that simply trance means to do nothing, right? Complete, to remain inactive, is actually absolute stupidity, because subtle body will not allow us to remain idle. Even if it is not today, after 10 days, or after 100 days, or after 10 years, 20 years, mind will act. And when mind will act, the gross body will simply follow it. So we cannot suppress thing. So all these impressions are there, and based on the situation, right? Which situation I am in, based on that, certain impressions within the mind will be activated. So in our mind, we have the impression of devotional service. We have impressions of variegated sinful activities. We have impressions of variegated worldly pleasurable activities. So all those things are there. So depending on which situation we are put in, those impressions would be triggered. So that is why in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna makes the most important or the most important statement. It says, Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dahina raso varjam raso apyasya parandrushtva nivartate. Okay. Vishaya vinivartante. So normally, those who want to perfect their life, Vishaya vinivartante. So we want to go away from sense gratification. Vishaya, sense gratification. Vinivartante. We want to suppress our ways of sense gratification. Niraharasya dahina. How? Now by restraining our senses. Restraining our senses. Raso varjam. And we want to give up the taste, the mundane taste, we want to give up, right? By force. We know sex pleasure is bad. Although it is very pleasurable, it is bad, right? Intoxication is bad. Meat eating is bad. So we want to forcefully we want to remain from such sense enjoyment. But even if we do repression, by repressing, if we would like to stay away from sense enjoyment, that is not going to succeed. Why? Why it will not succeed? Because at some point of time, a specific trigger in the mind will bewilder the intelligence of even a person of wisdom. And it will derail us to the path of sinful activity. Whereas raso api asya punardu param drushtva nivartate. So, however, if we have a spiritual experience, we have divine experience, we have higher taste, we have Krishna conscious experience, then raso api asya, even if there is a tendency to enjoy, is there within this body, param drushtva nivartate, that higher test will drag us in a positive direction. So we are saved from negative thing. Right? So this param drushtva, Prabhupada's movement is meant in a positive approach to science of self-realization. How do we get more and more higher test, spiritual test, right? So higher spiritual test, that is much better. I'll just give one example of higher spiritual test. When I was preaching in Bits Palani long back, 1995, one student, he registered for his master's thesis under my supervision. So I told him, I will accept you as my student provided you attend everyday Mangala Arati in my house. So that fellow, he was interested in a job and he was somehow interested to do a project with me. and he has to join the other devotees who are coming for Mangalarati. So every day he would come. So he used to have Mangalarati at 4:30. So he will come every day. So 1.5 years, without fail, he attended Mangalarati. But by that time, he was so fed up because he was not interested in practicing, right? But he was just looking how he can simply leave Vitspalani. That means he doesn't want to see me, right? So that was his status. And when he left, even he didn't tell, inform me where he's going. He just fled. And at some point of time, long after, I think this happened around 1997 when he left, or 98. And I think 2007 or 2006, when I was giving a class in Bangalore, I saw him in the audience. And I was pleasantly shocked. And then, after the class, I called him. "My dear friend, what happened? You were suffering like anything in my association. And suddenly I am so pleasantly surprised to see you again in the devotee association. What has happened?" So he narrated his experience. He said, I think some Bhavnagar or somewhere in Gujarat, he went to do his job. But after some time, he realized that these are not very pleasurable. But the Mangalarati he was attending, that experience didn't leave him. Although he was not ready for continuing his spiritual life that time, but that spiritual experience of being early morning in Mangalarati was so eternal, so perpetuating, he hankered for it. And that hankering led him to leave his job, and he accepted another job in Bangalore where he met devotees. And then he finally got initiated and he is happily situated in Krishna consciousness. So this spiritual experience, param drishtva nivartate. So how hard we may repress our senses, if we don't take or don't endeavor to collect spiritual experience. Spiritual experiences are like wish fulfilling chintamani. And we must collect that. How do we collect? So this is what my first part of talk will be today. So this, my dear friends, please recognize, mind is a repository of Vishaya. Vishaya means sense gratification. Mind makes plan, and material intelligence fulfills those plan, or makes material intelligence supports. So mind is being dragged by senses. Senses are activated based on the field of activity or the situation where you are. So if you situate yourself in mode of goodness, senses would behave differently. That would trigger mental impressions differently. If I am in mode of ignorance, then my senses would trigger those regions of mind that are having the impressions corresponding to mode of ignorance. So senses, they drag mind. Mind drags material intelligence. So material intelligence is actually a form of absolute ignorance. And this material intelligence helps us to do our sense gratification. Just like the allegory in 29th chapter, Naraji will give, that the deer is enjoying green grass. Okay? So deer has worked hard. He has gone around the jungles and has figured out, this is where I can do my sense gratification. Right? So material intelligence has worked very hard. But material intelligence is form of very ghastly ignorance. So much so that one cannot see multitudes form of death that is knocking at the doors of nine gates. Right? So whether it is the hunter who is who has pointed his arrow towards the deer, or the tiger who is simply looking at the opportune moment when to jump over the deer. So we forget, just like death. Death can come at any time. Death can come any time, just like Prahlad Maharaj. You know, he was a small 5-year-old boy. His friends would say, Prahlad, let's play, let's enjoy. We have now interval. And Prahlad said, No. We don't know. When the death will be there, knocking at the door. Death doesn't say, I am 1 year old, 1 day old, 100 year old. No. It can come at any time. So let us chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this material intelligence, you know, sometime we are born with very good material intelligence, right? And that makes us to enjoy as a very qualified engineer, qualified doctor, qualified lawyer, you know, qualified even president or prime minister, and so forth. Okay? But what good of that material intelligence? Because all that we can do in with that intelligence is how sophisticatedly we can enjoy our senses. We cannot go beyond that. Material intelligence cannot give us anything beyond sense gratification. Visaya visama visa satata khayeno gaura kirtana rase maganana hoyeno. Narottam Das Thakur is saying, visaya visama visa. Material intelligence can only help us to drink sense gratification. And what is sense gratification? Visa, visama visa, deadly poison. The sense gratification is deadly poison. And when we do sense gratification, we cannot remember Krishna. We will not be inclined towards path of perfection. So that is why in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, that which is night for normal people is day for sages, seekers of truth. And that which is daytime for seekers of truth is nighttime for the sense gratifiers. So we have to recognize this. So material intelligence is very deadly. Like, you know, earlier, if you go there, you know, the description of where this intelligence, what is this intelligence as a form, right? This is a form of a lady, right? It's an allegory, right? And it talks about two beautiful breasts of this two lady. And Prabhupada says the two breasts represent attachment and envy. This is material intelligence. So material intelligence, its two very intimate friends are attachment and envy. When I'm envious, finished. When I'm attached, I am in a andhakupa. So material intelligence, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in third chapter itself, replace material intelligence by spiritual intelligence. How do we gather spiritual intelligence? By hearing Bhagavad Gita, by hearing Bhagavatam, and guide our mind through spiritual intelligence. And how we should cultivate spiritual intelligence? In fourth chapter, Krishna says, the process of acquiring spiritual intelligence. How is that? Na evam parampara praptam, through the process of Guru Shishya Parampara. And in that parampara, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnaninam tattvadarshinam. Okay? So, to acquire spiritual intelligence, I must always be eager to render some service. Prabhupada has given us a wonderful society, International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And we can accept varieties of service here. There are service of book distribution. There are service of cooking and distributing prasadam. There are services of speaking Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita to those who are less privileged. We have to make effort, endeavor to educate people in the science of Krishna consciousness. There are service, you know, setting up preaching centers, setting up temples, you know, varieties of service. Okay. Services, educating kids, educating adults, educating young, educating old, you know, varieties of service we must accept. Eh? And to perfect our life, we should be genuine. Because if you are genuinely seeking perfection, then automatically there will be questions within us. Because we are in the middle of the ocean. So what is meaning of middle of the ocean? Even the best swimmer, he cannot cross an ocean. So if we are drowning in the middle of the ocean, we need help. We have unlimited questions to get out of this ocean of ignorance. So pariprasnana. So we will seek answers to multitude of questions that will be generated within our heart, within our mind, within our intellect. You know, so many ways these questions would haunt us. And from where we'll get those answers? From sadhu, from guru, and from Krishna, Shastra. So we read Prabhupada's purports very carefully. We read Bhagavatam very carefully, Bhagavad Gita very carefully. And we hear our teachers, our spiritual master, our devotees who are having higher realizations. So by this process, we get answer, right? And beginning is, of course, tad vidhi pranipatena. So we approach sadhu, guru, shastra, plus our service with proper etiquette, with humility, with simplicity. We must approach. Tad vidhi, vidhi means proper etiquette. Then Krishna, situated within our heart as super soul, will guide us to the direct specific verse in Bhagavad Gita, specific verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, to specific Krishna conscious person, now to specific sadhu sangha, super soul would act. So spiritual intelligence must be imbibed within our heart while replacing material intelligence. Okay? And mind must be guided by this spiritual intelligence. And by that process, four activities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending, must be purified or sanctified. And then we will be able to ask very high-level questions, right? So this is about intelligence. Material intelligence, no good. My dear friend, material intelligence is not good. Material intelligence will always help degrade us. on the royal road to hell. So I will tell you that this mind, okay, so the whole process, you know, this allegory, what this allegory is teaching us, that, you know, I, the conditioned Atma, has entered this human body, and using this body, I look forward various avenues of sense gratification, and that causes, or that causes another hundreds varieties of body for me to go through. Because when I'm looking for sense gratification, I may be looking for sense gratification that are very unnatural to this human body. So I may satisfy those sense gratifications in a body befitting a pigeon, a snake, or an animal. So this process of fruitive mentality creates future bodies for us immediately. Okay? And when Naradji in 29th chapter will explain the allegory and will give another new allegory, and then he would tell that, my dear king, today you are a king, tomorrow you may be a super, you may be a dog. Today you are in a male body, tomorrow you'll be in a female body or in an anuk body. Okay? Today you are two-legged. Tomorrow you may be one-legged. You may be thousands-legged. Right? So, the snake has thousands of legs. It's not visible. Right? More legs, more dangerous. Right? So these are the different things are there. And he's trying to explain that how do you know that we have these... So he is giving very self-evident experience as an evidence, and that is dream. Okay? So I will read this. This is the verse number 64th of 29th chapter. Sometimes we suddenly experience something that was never experienced in the present body by sight or hearing. Sometimes we see such things suddenly in dreams. In dreams, we sometimes, Prabhupada says in the purport, in dreams, we sometimes see things that we have never experienced in the present body. Sometimes in dreams, we think that we are flying in the sky, although we have no experience of flying. This means that once in a previous life, either as a demigod or an astronaut, we flew in the sky. The impression is there in the stockpile of the mind. It suddenly expresses itself. Right? It is like fermentation taking place in the depth of water, which sometimes manifests itself in bubbles on the water surface. Sometimes we dream of coming to a place we have never known or experienced in this lifetime. But this is proof that in a past life, we experienced this. So basically, Prabhupada is saying these dreams are actually our past experiences. Past experiences. Right? I had once a dream. In a dream, I am flying. Right? And the plane crashes. As plane is crossing, I am seeing that plane is actually, I am actually experiencing, plane is actually, you know, getting fragmented into small, you know, items. And while I am, you know, stuck to the seat belt, by virtue of the seat belt, I'm stuck to the seat and I'm being thrown away. And I'm feeling that, oh, I'm almost, you know, losing my body in a very peaceful manner, right? Something. So this kind of thing that, you know, I have, you know, when such a dream comes, what you say, sometime I'm in a plane and the plane is suddenly landed on a road, right? You know, something wild dreams. And it may be, people may think it's hallucination, but Prabhupada is saying, no, this dream is actually some experiences that we have gone through in previous life. And it's a mixture of different experiences, not necessarily only one experiences. It can be a mixture of various experiences. We have a dream. I have many dreams where I'm suffering like anything. And I'm thinking, oh, this suffering is unbearable. And suddenly, only when you wake up from the dream, you feel relaxed. Otherwise, you're suffering so much in the dream. Right? So this dream experiences tells us that we had many lives, right? We had many lives already in the past. I'll give you some positive news also to you. Just wait for a moment. So now, there are also positive dreams we see. You know, I don't want to share many such positive dreams, but one dream I like to share all the time. When I was in Germany, you know, I had a room. You know, the moment I opened the window in the night time in the summer is very pleasant in Germany. So you will have nice breeze. So nice breeze is coming up. Every day this happens. And I play Prabhupada bhajan and sleep. So once I am seeing in a dream that there is a civil riot. So people are throwing each other into fire. So when I saw, I am running towards my house. And after some time, I saw I'm being chased by a group of people. And I am running and running and running. And finally reached my home. I am knocking at the door. Nobody is opening. I'm saying they are coming and will catch me and throw me to the fire. And suddenly the door opened and I entered and closed the door from inside. And I am, you know, taking heavy breath. I'm just standing and suddenly in that very, very stressed situation, I could see the dazzling, bright, spiritual, divine form of Srila Prabhupada. So, and he is in a grave voice is telling, he's saying, riot or no riot, good time or bad time, our job is to always remain Krishna conscious. And then I am singing, because I'm an Odia, so I was singing a song where one of the phrases, Daichiya Mana Krishna Padaravinde, means I have dedicated my this mind to the lotus feet of Krishna. And this song is continuously playing and I'm waking up. And that is a very good feeling. And I saw that as I'm waking up from the dream, the breeze is very wonderful, pleasant. And I looked at the watch. It is only 2:30. So I took my bed bag and went out. And I had possibly the best rounds I could chant. So this very dream can give us the warning what kind of sinful activities we have done, or this very mind also in the form of dream can tell us that our future is secured in terms of Krishna consciousness. And with that, I'm ending with this particular most favorite of words of mine in this entire episode of Prachetas, Prachana Varishat, Narada and Shiva. This is all the gamut of teachings. So here, this is the 69th verse, and it says, Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state, you see, mind. Mind is very crucial, my dear friend. If we don't know how to tame our mind, we'll be destroyed. That the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of full moon. I would request all of you to go through this entire purport. You will find it is very, very relatable. I've gone through this purport many, many times. The first part of the purport is very scientific. I'm not going into the scientific side of the discussion today. I'll go to the last paragraph, and that would give you a lot of enlightenment or happiness. Why we see things not experienced in this life is explained herein. That which is seen in the future expression of gross body or is already stocked in our mental stockpile. Because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept a future gross body, his recorded desires are fulfilled in a dream. We therefore sometimes find things in a dream never experienced in our present life. So, in one purport, Prabhupada is saying, in our dream we see things that are stockpile of our sense gratification or sinful activities that we have done in our previous life. But here he is saying that after becoming devotee, if we are seeing nightmarish dream, that means Krishna is taking away many of our life, future lives, through dream. Because Krishna says this, Sarva dharman paritejya, mam ekam saranam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhya, mokhe sami masucha. Krishna is giving assurance that he will take away all our stockpile of desires, all our future lives, all our sins, everything he will take away. And one way he will take away is through nightmarish dreams. So as a devotee, if you are going through a nightmarish dream, you get up and offer prayer to Krishna. Oh Krishna, you have saved me from one more life. Thank you so much. And become more dedicated to Krishna consciousness. Okay? In fact, I fell in love with this particular chapter because this is very much about dream. You see, dream is an evidence of our past, present and future life. Dream is a very good way of telling us that we are eternal. Dream is a way by which we become aware of our subtle body in the form of mind, intelligence and false ego. So these chapters focus a lot about dream. And also in 10th canto, first chapter, there is a special section after the explanations Prabhupada gives purport, then he has a specific addendum to that chapter where Prabhupada again speaks about dream. So there is another point Prabhupada makes. There is no distinction between daydream or a night dream. Just like in a night dream, suppose I'm suffering in the dream, that suffering will end when I wake up. And when I wake up, I'm also dreaming because my material intelligence is guiding me to sense gratification, which are ephemeral, which will come to an end, right? So real awakening is the Atma, the spiritual self. And that awakening happens by the process of acquiring spiritual intelligence. Let me, please understand this, that we need to be constantly soaked in spiritual intelligence, because it is a spiritual intelligence that is our kavacha. Kavacha. It protects us. If I am impregnated with spiritual intelligence, more and more I do. That is why we should make a habit of reading books, hearing Prabhupada lectures, lectures of wonderful devotees. By hearing, by reading, by taking note, taking exam, spiritual exam, making quizzes. Recently, I did 2 quizzes on Bhagavad Gita. Okay. And people realize that quizzes, spiritual quizzes, are like smaranam, right? Smaranam, right? So, it's very intense. So when we are soaked in spiritual intelligence, then mind will be properly engaged. We should not give any scope for material intelligence to enter within us. Okay? So that will be catastrophic. Catastrophic. Okay. So now I will come to an end saying, let me read the verse of Naradji here. So as far as the dream is concerned, Naradji is saying, sometimes in a dream we see something never experienced or heard of in this life, but all these incidents have been experienced at different times, in different places, and in different conditions. It's not I am saying, Narada is saying. So we need to accept this. I would like, maybe today also some of you can share your dream, one negative dream, one positive dream. And I will tell you that one way you can improve your spiritual life by recalling your dream. Every day when you get up, you have a diary and recall your dream. And I can tell you, this is a very guaranteed process of seeing how well you are progressing in spiritual life. So before you go to bed, make sure you have chanted one round of chanting. You have read at least a chapter from Krishna book or Bhagavad Gita or something, or you've heard something, and you have hearing nice bhajan, and then you go to bed. And then every day you do recall of your dream. Just write down what you saw. Okay? And through that process, you will be able to dissect you as a wandering soul. The varieties of experiences that you will go through, it will let you know that we have gone through all the species of life. Plus, it will also let you know Krishna's kindness upon us, how Krishna is actually clearing, all the jungles, all the ignorance, all the bushes, everything in which, my devotional seed is growing. So because I have to clean when I properly prepare the field, I must be very worried about different ways where how I can clean the field so that my devotional creeper can grow. So here it is. He says, Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the super soul and guide of all living entities who have accepted material bodies within this world. He is the supreme controller of all material activities and material nature. He is our best friend, and everyone should take shelter at his lotus feet. In doing so, one's life will be auspicious. So, Abhijnata, my friend Krishna is here. Krishna is here. We must pray to him. He is not very far away from me. He is here. I have to feel his presence all the time. And this is possible by always getting soaked in spiritual intelligence. I will, my dear friends, I will read a very wonderful verse from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has been composed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And before every chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has composed a verse in Sanskrit. And that particular verse would be the essence of that chapter. This chapter is Sri Chaitanya's childhood pastime. Now let us see, what is the opening invocation verse? Every chapter is like this only. So the verse is, Kathanchana smrute yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet vismrute viparitam syat Sri Chaitanyam namamitam. Things that are very difficult to do becomes easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things becomes very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. That means if we know how to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the most difficult thing will become very easy. But if you don't know how to take shelter of lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the easiest thing will become very difficult. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport. He gives three things. He says, using three examples, he explains how things which are very easy becomes difficult for materialist, and that which is very difficult becomes easy for the for those who are surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we actually see that even those who are very great scientists in the eyes of general public cannot understand the very simple idea, life comes from life. So Prabhupada is saying, life comes from life. It's a very difficult idea. It's not a very easy idea. Scientists having degrees, PhD, DSc, you know, publishing high quality research papers in Nature and high quality journals, they cannot figure out life comes from life. But those who took shelter of Srila Prabhupada's message and his lotus feet, we are all able to understand very easily, life comes from life. This is one example. Then he says, another example, he says that normally sense control is very difficult, mind control is very difficult, right? And but when we came to Krishna consciousness and we followed the instructions of our teacher, immediately everything became very easy for us. We could get up for Mangala Arati very easily. We could chant rounds, you know, not 16 rounds. We chanted 70 rounds, 80 rounds, 100 rounds. You know, we never thought that there is something beyond chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And obviously, the controlling the senses becomes so easy. So even the yogis, they find it very difficult to control the senses. But by taking shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message and sharing Krishna conscious principles with others, we become very, it becomes very easy to control our senses. And third example, Prabhupada is saying, writing books, right? And Prabhupada gives, of course, the example, you know, indirectly about himself. You see, he went with 40 rupees to America, but he produced 80 volumes of books, without literally any effort in 10 years. To produce a book like us, you know, it will take years and years and years. But Prabhupada wrote all these books simply being inspired by Krishna. When Krishna helps us, we write, the empowered personalities, they write books. So Prabhupada gives these three examples, that sense control, life comes from life, writing books glorifying Krishna becomes so easy when we take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So my dear friends, so Puranjana is an allegory given by Narada for the purification of Prachana Varishat. And we are like Prachana Varishat, one of the Puranjana. And we have very wonderful opportunity by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Recently, we are reading Brahma Samhita every day. Brahma Samhita is a culmination of Brahmaji's austerity, being initiated by Mother Saraswati, the consort of Vishnu, in the Gopala Gayatri Mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallavaya Swaha. And that very mantra transports Brahmaji from the abyss of darkness to the topmost spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. And Brahmaji sees there the thousand-petaled lotus, golden lotus, in the Yamuna water. And every petal is abode of millions of gopis. And in the middle, the whole of that lotus is the divine abode of Sri Radha and Krishna. And the essence of this spiritual abode is captured in the verse Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prativavi Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Prativavi Tavir Nijarupa Tayakalavi Goloka Eva Nivasati Akilatma Bhuto Govindam Adi Purusam Tamaham Bhajami. And there it says that I offer my humble obeisance and worship to Govinda, who is situated in Goloka as Sri Sri Krishna and Radha. And Radha has expanded herself to unlimited gopis. And all of them are being nourished by Krishna, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. They are nourished by Krishna in the 64 different arts. Okay? So every rasa takes a shape of an art, and Krishna nourishes his own expansions first in the form of Radharani, and Radharani expands herself further. Right? And this beautiful manifestation of the beautiful absolute truth is being worshipped by the very people here. So that is there. That says, Edvava Bhavita Dhyo Manujastathaiva Samprapya Rupa Mahima Sanayana Bhusa Sukter Emava Nigama Pratitaistu Banti Govindam Adi Purusam Tamaham Bhajami. So this is very inconceivable. So this description that Brahmaji is giving, this is a description of the spiritual world. using our material intelligence or material experience, we can never reach out it. Either we have experience of that or we don't have this. We can listen it, appreciate it, and pray to Krishna. One day by chanting purely Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we'll have that experience. Right? But in this particular thing, Brahmaji is saying, Manuja. Manuja means we all. Right? By practicing Krishna consciousness, perfecting our life, okay? Yadbhava bhavita dhyo manuja astateva. By completely soaked in Krishna consciousness, manuja astateva, samprapya, by getting. When I perfect my life by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, this Mahamantra gives me samprapya rupa. It provides me spiritual body. Mahima, it gives me opulence. Samprapya rupa mahima, asana, yana, it gives me my home. It gives me my vehicle, transcendental vehicle. It gives me the bhusa, a spiritual body adorned with spiritual ornaments. And in that state, I worship Govinda. So that is, when we worship Govinda, we are not like Bhikmanga's beggars. Anybody who knows the purity of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the absoluteness of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he knows the essence of everything. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked this question by Satyaraj Khan, what is the duty of a householder? Okay? And Mahaprabhu would answer this question many times in a different way, and he would give almost the same answer. He says a householder should chant incessantly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In addition, a householder should serve all those devotees who are chanting incessantly. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very interesting. Excellent class. Very wonderful class. And you spoke very interestingly on the topic of dreams, with how some of the dreams that come are about the past experiences, and some even might be of the future experiences with past.
Would you like to share some experience, Mataji?
No, Prabhuji, I had a question. Wanted to know about your thoughts on, if you have any, with regards to regression therapy and progression therapy. I read quite about that these days.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have any special significance for you? Like when you go into some kind, I was reading those books, when you go into some kind of progression therapy, so there are so many different paths that open up. Or in the regression therapy, if you want to find a meaning, that why is this happening again and again, you visit. What is your thoughts on that, Prabhu? If you
actually, we did some experiment, but not regression therapy. But there are in sleep and dream, there are a lot of research. But unfortunately, these people who are doing research, they're not educated in Krishna consciousness. And that is why they're bewildered by this study on sleep and dream. We did a research, and we will continue this research further. I have 3 more PhD students to work on it. But we did a research where, you know, that at this particular moment, majority of our students are going through nightmarish dream. They don't have a good sleep. They cannot sleep properly. When they wake up, they don't feel fresh. They feel lethargic, lazy, and sleepy. So, and we did a research on that. So I can give you a little bit of excerpt. Now, we have written a paper on that. We are going to submit that to a journal. So what I did is that I did a cognitive behavior therapy. So before people go to bed, so we had some 30-40 subjects, And these subjects, we had a questionnaire, and they would we would ask them question about their sleep habits, when they go to bed, and what do they do, what kind of, whether they feel fresh or not. So these are a general questionnaire we ask, and we made this questionnaire by consulting to a sleep specialist in a medical college, a professor of sleep specialist. So once we made that questionnaire, we would give and we will collect that answer. And then I will administer these people a CBT, cognitive behavior therapy, where what I do is that I make them a little warm-up exercise, and then I put them in yoga nidra, and then I kind of make them to go through different parts of their body, from tip of the toe to the top of their head. And then I connect everything to the absolute truth, the way it is explained in Bhagavad Gita. And then I make them recognize that they are made up of these eight different space, and if space is withdrawn, still we exist. Okay. And but we don't realize that. And then I, after some proper hearing and meditation, I make them to hear Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in that process, you know, I make them, you know, if you feel hurt by someone, please forgive him or her. If you have been helped by someone, then pray to Krishna to award him devotional benefit. So like that, I make them go through certain routines and then they sleep. And then we recorded using easy signal their sleep quality. And we could see there is significant improvement in terms of their sleep quality. And plus, their manual input after we had a questionnaire before, and we give the questionnaire again after this session. And we recognize that their sleep could be so beautiful. In fact, if we know how to sleep well, then we will become much better devotee. But your question is that regression, yes. I have not done a lot of research on that, but by recalling our dream and taking Krishna conscious measures, preventive measures, we can see that our dreams will become divine and divine and divine. We can actually, we are on the process of doing such experiment.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Wonderful. Hari Bol Krishna. Hari Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for such an exhilarating class and beautiful verses that you were quoting. And it was very nice to read the purports of those verses as well. And thanks for giving your experience and the work that you're doing. So in case there are, after the publishing or after, whenever it is possible, do please share the papers, Prabhu. We are very excited to read them. Thank you for your association.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. I'll do so. Sure.
Thank you.
Prabhuji, I was wondering, you were saying that even a daydream, even somebody when they daydream or they dream, it's possible that a lot of their future lives are being expressed, and hence those many future life in the gross body will not take place. Even the daydream, isn't that a conscious dreaming or a manifestation of a desire, or people when they're hoping? How?
Well, very good question, Mataji, you asked this one. Let me tell you, so when we are engaged in Krishna conscious activities in daytime, that we won't call as a dream. But if we are engaged in sense gratification, then there is no difference between that dream and the dream that is happening in the night time. So the point is that forget about Krishna consciousness. Let us not bring in Krishna consciousness into picture. This daydream and night dream, Prabhupada has given, you know, very elaborate explanation, not only in this chapters, also as I told you, 10th canto, first chapter, you go after the first chapter, there is a specific addendum there. It's all about dream. You see, why our seers of truth, they focus on the dream? Because we all have experience of dream. And many times, there will be many nightmarish dream, and we will be suffering. But the suffering ends the moment we get up. The moment we get up, suffering ends. So similarly, in the daytime also, all our so-called engagement is also dream. And that dream will finally end when our spiritual identity is awakened. So whether it is a day dream or night dream, why they are dream? Because they do not pertain to our real self, that is the servant of Krishna, I as a servant of Krishna. So all the actions that is happening, whether it is a daytime or nighttime, when I am not connected to Krishna consciousness, I am ignorant. Right? These are all dreams. They are just happening. It has nothing to do with the soul. So when soul is awakened, then we will say, whether it is night dream or day dream, is all finished. So in that sense, what is the meaning of dream? Dream, that which is not real, that which is temporary, that has nothing to do with myself. That is meaning of dream. So whatever we do, in whether in a day or it is happening in the dream, they are not connected to the self proper, that is servant of Krishna. Did I answer your question?
Yes, 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 Prabhuji. Wonderful explanation. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Anybody would like to share some dream? Positive, negative?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank
yes,
you for
yes.
the wonderful class. Prabhuji, sometimes we, this is not about dreams, but sometimes we get very weird thoughts, like, you know, in a situation and some very, very sinful thoughts come in mind. Is that also because of
Yeah. That is also written here. Prabhupada says, not only dream, also weird thought, both. Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes, that is also impression within
Prabhuji,
the mind.
I just missed which purport are you mentioning about, if you don't mind.
This you have to go through. I have missed that.
So 29, 69, and 429, 65.
So 29. You see that 29. Yes. I read the purport of 66th verse, right?
Mataji is mentioning. Mataji, 429?
29, chapter 29. I read 69. The purport of 64. 64. Also, I read the 66th. But you read this. From the verse number 64 onwards, 64, 65, 66, 67. Sometimes in a dream we see something never experienced. I have read what you said, the word thought, that is also explained here. See, so from 64 to 69, kindly go through. You will find the thing, and I will go through it, and I will pass on that message to Guru Gaurang Prabhu, and then he can pass on to you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dandavat Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful, insightful class. I have never heard this kind of lecture before, actually. Thank you so much for enlightening us. One question, Prabhuji. There are times when, there are very, very few times when, at least my personal experience, that I remember the dreams. But when I remember that I have, like, falling from the cliff and, like, literally...
I have also similar thing.
And, like...
Yeah. You see that... Do you think that whatever your experience throughout your sojourn and my experience throughout my sojourn, is there any difference? Tell me. There will be no difference. We have gone through the experience in all those 8.4 million different species. To experience that you will have and I will have, or I already have or you have, there is no difference. Please have this idea just embedded within your consciousness. This is true. I have seen that many times, falling from the cliff. Yes, please continue.
Yeah, Prabhuji. And then obviously when you get up, you are very, very thankful that you are still alive, because at that point of time when it is really happening, you can feel it, and that's the end. You feel that it's the end. But when you get up, then you kind of, oh, now, okay, thank God, Krishna. It's not happening to me at this point of time. Having said that, like my Prabhu, he gets many times this kind of dreams, and I don't know what it is, but he has told me so many times, like, you know, he's in this kirtan going on and all that, but I've never experienced anything spiritually so nice in my dreams ever. Second question is, like, most of the times one doesn't remember the dreams. So does that mean anything?
Say there are different sleep level. Sleep level 1, sleep level 2, sleep level 3, sleep level 4. Right? So the dream level sleep, normally there the consciousness level is high. So, you know, I don't have a PPT, otherwise I would have shown you. Maybe sometime I will show you some PPT also. On this sleep and dream PPT. I can show, because this is something interesting, because we all sleep, we all dream. These are very personal experience and they're very scientific. They represent our journey. So this many dreams that we don't remember when they are happening near deep sleep. And so normally if the dreams are happening in the very middle of, normally you get a good sleep. Okay, because all of you are hearing now about sleep and dream, let me tell you, because I do research, so I will tell you, the best sleep that you can have is between 9 to 2. 9 o'clock, this is by scientific research. This has nothing to do with Rig Veda or Bhagavad Gita. This is very scientific research, and that is between 9 o'clock night to 2 o'clock. We should never miss this time. So 9 to 2, that is 5 hours. And suppose you need 7 hours, then you add 2 more hours. Okay? So 9 to 2, so you make it 9 to 4. If you need 6 hours sleep, then you make it 9 to 3. So, but 9 to 2 must be there in your sleep. You must make sure this. Okay? And as long as, and 9, see, what is meaning of sleep? Sleep is not to enter into ignorance. Sleep is meant to give or to feel rested. Feel rested. You know, according to science, we have REM and non-REM sleep. And these sleeps are necessary because our memory is repaired, you know, because throughout the day the brain has been functioning. So some repairing work must go on. So that happens actually during those dreams. That is the scientific finding. So, but the point is, 9 to 2, if we are sleeping, then we will feel properly rested. So when you get up, you are feeling fresh. That, I mean, I have really made up of my sleep. But if I get up and I'm not feeling fresh, that means I have to work for it. I should not take it for granted. And a day after day in, day out, if I every day I wake up and still I don't feel leaving the bed, so that's not good. So I must add the mode of goodness into my way of sleeping. How is my bed? Where it is situated? How I'm going to bed? You know, the mode of goodness. The room must be very dark. When we sleep, darkness. So half an hour before I sleep, my room must be dark. And within that half an hour time, I must be praying to Krishna. I may be reading Sikhyasta Compare. I may be reading, Brahma Samhita. You know, something I must read during that half an hour. I must meditate on thanking all those who helped me to become remain Krishna conscious today, to be grateful or to forgive. Forgive is something very important. Or tolerate. So some of the things that those half an hour dark period, we should, before we allow ourselves to enter into rest. So your question is that, yes, if we don't remember some of the dream, no problem. Most of the dream we don't remember. We must know this. Most of the dream we don't remember.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you so much for the wonderful class, and it's really helping. And we would really, really love to have you each and every time. You're so inspiring. Prabhu, just as you shared your experience, that we should be reading, I just wanted to share something. With the kids, we just started reading. I've started reading Srimad Bhagavatam at night, and it's just for that half an hour. But what I've seen is that after that reading, it really helps the sleep quality. It has really helped me. I cannot explain it in words. And moreover, when you said that, can you share somebody, share a dream? It was like this today's experience. I don't know, we all, if we come from India, we always have some superstitions related to everything, right? So today it was I just had a dream that, in India, you have that bhalu that comes, and then you have that hair. It is very auspicious to have it. And I had that okay, I'm asking. And I even give him $5 for it. And he is very happy. But when he is leaving, he says, absolute truth is the best you can have. And he just vanishes off. And I just get up. And it was so very, that just made me so happy and so thankful to Srila Prabhupada that it was really a very happy experience. And I think this reading Srimad Bhagavatam with the kids, it is helping me a lot. And I just wanted to share this.
Right. Yes. This is dream is, many times it also brings our deep persona, what I am hankering for, right? So when certain nightmarish dream come, we should be conscious. We should be conscious to correct ourselves. Suppose some weird thought or weird dream comes, the dream concerning my lust or greed is coming, so then I must be very careful about my Krishna conscious practices. So dream is an indication of my progress in spiritual life. Yes. So anybody who is going to bed with proper preparation. So there was some echo there. So please make your bed always clean, a clean bedsit, simple bed, sometime you can play classical music, you can play Hare Krishna Mahamantra, soft Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and then start meditating before you go to bed. That's the best way to go to bed. And, you know, I'm 100% sure that as long as we practice, see, Krishna consciousness is a way of life. All of us, we have spiritual intelligence, right? By Prabhupada's mercy. So it is only how we convert that spiritual intelligence into our action.
Okay.
So sleep is certainly one of the...
Prabhuji, I had one more question. Like you, we have been discussing so much about dream. How about having no dream? I mean, then we don't know whether we are progressing in Krishna consciousness or what. But no.
Say, if you are going to deep sleep, then you may not have a dream. So normally, if you are going to deep sleep, even 2 hours of sleep should be sufficient for you. 1 hour sleep also should be sufficient for you. In deep sleep, you don't see the dream. Okay, in shallow sleep, you see the dream. Okay? So, I have read, as whatever articles I have read about dream, literally everybody sees dream. But if somebody doesn't see dream, you should not be too much worried about it. Okay? See, what is important is that first, sleep, you make sure that when you get up, you felt completely rested. If that's happening, that should be the good beginning point. And of course, dream, we saw, how Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came so many times in his dream. Okay? Since the time he made up his mind that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is his guru. And since then, he has established that relationship, and his guru has come many times in his dream. So, if somebody has not seen, one is not getting dream, one should not worry too much. We should practice our spiritual life. Dream is one of the ways, not necessarily that if I'm not seeing the good dream or no dream or good dream, I should be worried about it. I don't advise to think in that direction. But one thing is very sure, when we are having deep sleep, we don't see dream. So you can figure out if you are having a good deep sleep is good actually.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Dhanyavaad, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, is it okay to contact you and send you an email?
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. Sure. Thank you so much. And please give your association regularly, Prabhu. It's really very inspiring. Hare Krishna. We have one of your students over here. Chaitanya Bhavdas. So we're looking at him. We can have that how beautifully you have inculcated Krishna consciousness in these kids. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, you are from Dallas?
Yes, Prabhu, but we are moving soon to back to India. So, Prabhu, where are you exactly in India, if you don't mind?
Kanpur.
Okay. I'll be in touch with you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Sure. Hare Krishna. So, should we end this session today, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Are there any more questions for Prabhuji at this point? If not, yeah, Prabhuji, thank you so much. This was indeed a very, very interesting topic. I mean, I haven't heard a lot about, so thank you so much. I really enjoyed this topic. And with that, I would like to say thank you to you, and we are very grateful to you for this wonderful session, and really look forward to having your association again in future. with
that. Thank you, Mataji. I thank all of you for blessing me. Vancha Kalpataruvesha, Krupa Sindhu Vevacha, Patitanang Pavanevya, Vaishnavibhyo, Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam.